This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Runner Bigger Picture and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Holstebro, Denmark is the home to one of the world's most well-known theatre companies, Odeon Theatret, helmed by Eugenio Barba. It was founded in 1964. From then, the company birthed the International School of Theatre Anthropology and the Centre for Theatre Laboratory Studies. In 2008, I went there to train and participate in the company's production of The Marriage of Medea. This past Sunday, I met with an Argentinian actor who trained with Odeon. Anna Wolf, who will be performing and sharing a work performance, is here in Malaysia for the first time. Anna, the last time I saw you was in 2008 in Odeon Theatre. From you, I learned the Suzuki method over the weeks while I was there. Since 2008, I also understand you, after spending some time in Odeon, you also went back to Argentina. So what have you been doing the last 10, 11 years?
Okay, happy to meet you here, first of all, after so many years. What I have been doing, I continue with theater. I continue with my master, Julia Barley, and also Eugenio Barba. I continue working and collaborating with the Odeon. I'm not living in Argentina. I could say I have my luggage. I have my home in Argentina. It's a place where I can come back. But I work around the world. I'm directing and acting and teaching. So I have been doing the same than before. Perhaps, of course, not perhaps. I'm a bit much older. I'm much older than before. So, but I continue learning. I continue learning. And I think the possibility that life gave to me, that was to be able to meet my master like Julia and Eugenio, it's a gift. So having the possibility of being near Odeon, and it's a possibility of continue learning from the point of view of the director. And near to Julia, I can continue also growing up, even if I'm 50, as an actress, because she doesn't forgive me if I don't work even one cellule, one instant after the other. So she knows me a lot after so many years.
Why have you chosen this life? What led you to this life of becoming an actor, spending time in Odeon, learning from somebody, and then traveling the world, doing workshops for people, doing performances? I suspect you do this on your own very much.
Mm-hmm. First, I started traveling when I met Odeon for the first time. I was reading Eugenio's book, Barba's book, so in university. And then I have never thought about meeting them. And I had my first teacher. You will see this in behind the curtains, my word demonstration. It was from pure Stanislavski. So I was lucky also because in Argentina I had my first teacher. But when I met the Odeon for the first time, perhaps it's a bit oriental way of thinking, but I think if you found your guide, your guru, your master, your teacher, you have to follow.
That's oriental thinking.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You have to follow. Probably it's not recognized, this way of thinking, in Occidental world, because you jump from one people to the other. That's why I'm lucky, because I found like a star, a reference. I can also now, with 50 years old, I became also a reference for many young generation. And I think sometimes I continue traveling and teaching, even if I'm a bit tired, because I feel I have received a lot, and I have to give. And as much as I receive, as much as I have to give. I believe on new generations of theater, and I believe on our craft, and I believe on one way of doing our craft, with discipline, repetition, building a community, even if we are not together all the time with your actors or with actresses. So it's like planting a seed.
How relevant is this kind of thinking in the 21st century when you think about creating theatre and theatre communities? You know, repertory theatre in England, that, my understanding, is dead. And to some extent, the whole idea of a community of actors living together, working on a particular script over a long period of time, that seems, from today's perspective, antiquated.
For me, no, because it's my choice, and I hope it will be, it continue being a choice of many, many young actors and actresses. In Latin America, the possibility of building a theater group is the possibility of survive. If not, the option is, as in many countries, you sit down and you wait for somebody to call you, or you go from one casting to the other. And then you work with 3 months with a company, and then you say ciao, ciao, and then finito. It's a possibility of theater. It's not my choice. The choice of a group, for me, is a possibility of growing up together in many sense. Not only in the training, in the point of view of the training, in the point of view of learning administration, of building a space, taking care of a space, cleaning the toilets, as you do when you go to Odin. Is it the ideology that you can hear when you read Stanislavski? Stanislavski has main theater in Moscow, but he took the actors and they went to the house in the farm, and they were living together and they were experimenting things together, and it's a way of growing up. So it's not only is the crew, is Copo, is the possibility also of thinking that the performance is not the main goal of an actor. A performance is, as they say, the old masters, is a point, a moment in the life of an actor. So the life of an actor is much bigger than to show a performance.
Is the life of the actor a way of living? It is not just about learning the skills to do a show.
For me, it's a way of living. It's a way of living. And to find another people to share a way of living is better than a marriage. Imagine Odin has 54 years old. 54. There's not many couples who can live. Can you imagine 54 years old? Ariane Nouchkin also and her company. So Suzuki's Tersopoulos. For me, it's fantastic because you don't live together, but you spend most of your life together, and you have to learn how to fight. You have to love the other. You hate the other, but you have to go through all these superficial feelings like, oh, I don't like you because you answer to me in a bad way. Today you are like this. So how to? It's about growing as a human being, because an actor, we are human beings before. Then we go on the stage.
Why does the life of the actor, the career of an actor, why does this kind of life allow you to be more human than, let's say, you take a job in a bank or take a job as a school teacher or anything? What is special about this kind of life?
I think also if you work in a bank or in the post office, you can work with this, I can call peripheric view. Peripheric view is that you have I always say you have the rabbit who wants to eat the carrot, and it only focus on the carrot. So he forgot that there's a bug, and he forgot there's a circumstance and around him. So even if you work in a bank, if you do the work that you like to work to do, if you can watch or be able to watch through your own stomach and belly, that you have to do your work as an artist. It doesn't matter. Everybody could be an artist in your own craft, in your own work. But for me, it's a question of peripheral view. You cannot train all the time in a room, 20 hours, your center, your muscle, your spirit, and then you go out in the street, and there's, it happened in Colombia, in Buenos Aires, and there's children asking, begging, or one woman falling down in the street, and you continue with your own focus with the rabbit and carrot. So why you train?
the training is to have the kind of peripheral vision so that we see more than what we normally see.
The training also is to kill your ego. To kill your ego. It's like an onion. It's like it's an Ibsen image of onion, no? You sweat, you are confronted to the things you cannot do, and how to break the frontiers of the impossibility. The impossibility becomes possibility if you work. The levels, okay, now it's sweating, it's working. It's time. In my world demonstration, I say, nothing is for free. Nothing is for free. It's time. Work, time, and work. But even if you are working in a bank, it's about sincerity, and it's about true, and for me it's about being able to watch the other with not a daily way of watching, because we run all day. Now nobody watch anybody, because we only watch, are walking, looking at the phone. So I have problems now with some young generation. When I do workshops, I realize since more than 4 years ago, the way of looking of the young people when we do workshop is down. Is they watch, they look down. So now we have to build again the horizontal point of view, because the muscles of the eyes, they go down now with the phone and with the things that we do, and the back is going down. So it's incredible. We are losing also the way of watching and looking at the eyes of the other person when we talk. We cannot.
In a way, the looking down is disconnecting. It is not looking at people in the eye and making a kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm. And also, it's not showing you. If I don't look at you, you don't look at me. So there's something about being naked. But because now it's very easy to take out the dress, and body is in another level. We are not in my countries, in Occidental countries. So you have a publicity, you show the underwear, publicity of naked women, naked men. So it's, you have muscles, you show your abdominal. It's easy, but this is not being naked. Being naked is really being naked. If I look at you and look at me, even if we are with the 3 overcoats on our body, we could be naked if we look at each other, but we don't know how to know.
Anna Wolf, an actor from Argentina who has trained in the Suzuki method and embraced the methodologies of Odin Theatret. She is in the country to share her experiences in the theater and to hold a couple of performances and a workshop. Coming up, we'll learn about these performances and workshop. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're tuned to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Last Sunday, I got to spend some time with Anna Wolf, an actor with connections to Argentina, her home country, and to Denmark, where she trains with Odin Theatret. Anna has been traveling, performing, demonstrating, and facilitating theater workshops. Anna, you are the co-founder of Magdalena, the second generation, and if I'm not mistaken, it's a network of women artists. Mm-hmm. Why the focus?
The women artists, the Magdalena Network started in 1986, and Julia Barley is one of the founders. And they started to create a space, a landscape of possibilities for women artists, because there was a... Also in Latin American countries, there is a lack of spaces for women artists. And as I was telling you, if we go to the program of an international festival in Buenos Aires or in Argentina, or many international theater festival, you can see that the directors, mostly 70-80% are men. If you took the history of theater in a library, you can see that the books of the history of the theater mostly are men, even if I'm devoted and translate also Eugenio Barba. So there's a lack of presence in art of women. And Magdalena project was the origin to build a space so everybody is welcome. Men are welcome. It's not that it's a ghetto of women. But the only thing is the men could not guide a workshop, for example. If we have a round table, a man could not be seated in the round table to speak because we have many other spaces for the men to talk. If I go, I insist, to the International Theatre Festival, I go to a table, round table, and there are six men and one woman. It's not only theatre, it's everywhere like this. So how to build a space everybody can share, but the protagonist, the main space, will be taken by women. And also if I direct men, it will be in a festival, in Magdalena Festival, but me, I am the director. So, and also there's another important area that is the written area. So Julia and some women artists create also a review who's called Open Page. So where many women practitioners could write and reflect about their own work. Because also, if you say, where's the story of the theater? Through women, you can say, okay, Sara Bernard, Eleonora Duse, they were writing diaries. And in the university, still now, a diary is not considered a material to study as serious as theory, like Fernando de Toro or Anne Werfel. So, but this is history. It's a way of writing history, but it's a subjective language. So this is about also gender and how we read literature and how we read theory if it is not using the we believe, no? Who is we? I'm a woman. If I say we believe, who is we? Because you have to use this objective we, no? It doesn't exist. We is me. I believe that. And then we can talk about this. And this is also theory, how I build a performance and I write about this. This is my story and you can share.
You are here in Malaysia and you will be doing a couple of performances, and one is called Seeds of Memory, another one is a kind of a performance lecture behind the curtains talking about your work, and then you'll be running some workshops. I'm very interested in this Seeds of Memory. It has its origins in a period of Argentinian history.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't know how much in Malaysia knows or receive news from Argentina. I know Maradona, Messi, they are well known. Sometimes Che Guevara is well known. But Latin America, not only Argentina, we have lived, experienced military dictatorship, many. The last one in between 1960-1983 left us with 30,000 missing people. Missing people means missing bodies. Means that there's almost 30,000 mothers and families who doesn't know where are their children. It was a young generation in between 18 and 23, 24 years old, militant, left militant, who wanted to change some things. And then during all this period, we had concentration camps. During this period, when they started disappearing, there was a movement of mothers called Mothers of Plaza de Mayo. It's a very important movement. Plaza de Mayo is the space where the government house is, the main square in Buenos Aires. And the mothers of the missing people decided to meet every Thursday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you go now, you could find still the mothers that are still alive. If not now, there's the son, the grandmothers of Plaza de Mayo. They decided to start marching in a circle. not more than two, because in a military dictatorship you could not have more than two people walking together in the street. So they were marching like this, and they still march. This was in silence, and the way of asking and saying, we don't forget, we look for our children. And they put at the beginning like a white piece of material. Yeah.
Like a scarf?
Like a scarf, but at the beginning was, you know, how you say this for babies?
A napish.
Yes, napish. At the beginning it was a napish. They were with this in the hand. And then it became a white piece of material, fular, and they put it in the head. So when you see this symbol, it's the mothers of Plaza de Mayo. And there are many, many other group of mothers, then I discovered, not only in Argentina. You have in Turkey, you have in Serbia, mothers of Saturday, and the Women in Black, this is another association in the world looking for missing people. So I had my bosom brother who disappeared. And then when I met Julia and I was in Denmark, my dad has passed away and I didn't have any performance. I only had my training. And then I started working on some images. And then Julia was accompanying me. And it was a good combination because I could build these performances of memory about a very sad moment and dark moment of my personal life biography, because my father was not anymore there. So it was about absence. And then we can cross this moment of my personal biography with a moment of the history where also my country were experienced absences without understanding how, and I say this in my performance, I don't understand how I can touch one body now and after a moment this body is not anymore there. So how we can understand, we don't have the understanding, the concept of absence. So this is Seeds of Memory, and I was lucky because Julia doesn't belong to Latin America. She's English and living in Denmark, so she's a bit colder in a way of watching. So yeah, because you know, it could have been a disaster, too much emotion in the middle.
She has some objective distance.
Absolutely. Cultural, geographical, and also the way of working with action, and didn't allow me to fall down into the emotions.
Behind the curtains is your performance workshop.
It's performance. Behind the curtain is a work demonstration. It's a performance work demonstration. So it's like you hear what is behind the curtain. I will show my training, a different part of my training since my beginning with Stanislavski. And I go through some exercises that I have done, but also because when I give a workshop, also I'm worried about how we go through the technique, from the technique to build a character. If not, we do training and I can show how good or no, that I'm not good doing the training, but that's all. And I don't want to show this only. So I do some fragments of training and I show some fragments of different performances where you can see the passage in between technique and building a character. So this is behind the curtain. But you will see it's a time on the stage. Time passing and work and time. This is my mantra, time and work.
And then you are also running some workshops where dance and the rhythms of Latin America will be used to create.
Yes, and it's, I tell this also in my work demonstration. My main training is a Japanese training. It's Tadashi Suzuki training. I love this training. I really love. But at one moment when I was in Denmark and I started studying theater anthropology and following Eugenio and the International School of Theater Anthropology, I understand also, I was understanding these cult principles. So I could see many masters from different geographies, perspective, Japan, India, Peking Opera, Brazil, and also Odin. And then I say, no, I'm not Japanese. Of course I'm not Japanese. And I was living in Denmark, and I was very cold. And each time I was listening to a Latin American music, my blood was burning like, So I say, how could I take the principles of all the techniques that I have been studying and create my own technique with the stop of Suzuki, with the out of balance of Odin, if you like, Odin exercises. So with all this sending energy, stopping energy, so then I decided to use a Latin American rhythm and to think about this technique through a music that belongs to my country. So I make a kind of synthesis of all the techniques that I have been going through. And probably I will study more. It never ends because it's a pleasure to study when you love your craft. I will continue. So also I was studying tango, so I put also tango music, but always from the point of view of theater anthropology. It's used to build a presence, to build your body and your voice.
Thank you very much. It's so wonderful to hear that theater is not something we do, it's but something we live.
Yes, I think it's also you understand this, because if not, probably we have been now taking a coffee or watching something in Kuala Lumpur or swimming in a swimming pool and not being a Sunday afternoon speaking about theater. We say, who cares about theater? But you care, I care, and this is the way of living we have chosen. And we are happy having this afternoon on Sunday in Malaysia and talking about theater and reflecting and thinking. No, thank you.
Gracias.
De nada. Thank you. Gracias.
Anna Wolf, a visiting theater practitioner from Argentina. I attended Anna's work demonstration on Tuesday evening, in which she shared the journey she has taken as an actor, the techniques she learned, and how each, as she acquired them, helped inform on the earlier skills she attained. Anna Wolf will be performing today at 8:30 p.m. and tomorrow, Friday, in a show titled Seeds of Memory, a performance about absence, the absence of a father, the absence of a body to bury. Entrance to this performance is by a donation of 80 ringgit. Then she'll be facilitating a 3-day workshop from Friday, February 22nd, through to Sunday, February 24th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And the workshop is titled From the Dance Tango to Our Own Scenic Role, going from technique to performance. This workshop will also deal with developing presence. The cost of the workshop is 600 ringgit. For more information or bookings, contact Masakini Theatre. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.